we approach your word, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this day. Help us, Lord, not only to be reminded of what it means to be in this land of freedom and the responsibilities that we have, but as in this land as a believer in Christ, and that responsibility far above exceeds that for which we find in this land. And so help us, Lord, to take a look at our allegiance to you. And we ask that you would bless this preaching of the word, that your spirit may have free reign to work in each heart. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we're going to be. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where I invite your attention. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a phrase in our Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag that has become extremely controversial. Some want it removed and others want it to remain. And that phrase is one nation under God. You know, this is rather amusing considering that the men who helped to frame our Constitution believed that true liberty depended upon God's leadership and His blessings if she were going to survive. The irony is that the ones who want it removed are trying to erase all trace of God from our land. And those who want it to remain don't really want our country under God's rule either. And so, but they won't say that. But they don't really want it under God's rule. Sadly, the growing rejection of God in our nation should not surprise us. Many believe that freedom is found by removing God from public life altogether. And so just get rid of Him altogether. We don't want any parts of Him. We don't tell me that. Don't preach that to me. Don't share that with me. Don't even share that out and about where I can see it. Just get rid of it. But history and Scripture tell us that it's just the opposite, because Ronald Reagan said this. He said, if we are not one nation under God, then surely we will be one more nation gone under. And that's the truth. Can you not see it heading in that direction? Know this, freedom without God only leads to failure. Freedom without God only leads to failure. You see, well, how do you know that? Take a look at the lives of men and women who want to live free from God and His Word. And take a look and see how successful, so to speak, in life that they are. Yes, they may have millions, they may have this, but look at their lives as well, and the satisfaction by which, and the joy that they lack in life altogether. And so even those who name the name of Christ, who will not pledge their allegiance to Jesus Christ, never experience the joy and the liberty that God intends for them if they do not pledge their allegiance to Him. I've titled the message, A Pledge of Allegiance, because as Christians, if you want to know the freedom for which God has made you free, we talked about that in the Sunday school devotion this morning, in the fact that Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Most are free from the penalty of sin, but not the power of sin, and one day the presence of sin. And so because they don't understand and never experience the true freedom in Christ, because they've not surrendered their life 100% over to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not pledged their allegiance to Him. And so here we go. The greatest pledge you can ever make is not to a flag, but to our Savior. That's the greatest pledge you can make. A pledge is more than words. It is a promise. It is a commitment. It is a life devoted to someone or something. We make commitments to our families. Many of you have stood right here and you've pledged your allegiance or your commitment to the other, you know, to your spouse there as well. And so we make that commitment, that pledge that I promise, you know, in sickness and in health and all of those things that you mentioned there. We make pledges to our employers. I will show up at this time. I'll give you a good day. day's work, and so you pay me. And so we pledge to do that. We make pledges of our financial obligations. You go to the bank and you say, I would like to buy a car. He says, press here, sign here, press hard. And what you're telling him is that I'm obligated to this. I'm pledging to pay this back. And so we know what it is to make a pledge, yet the most important commitment we can ever make is a wholehearted allegiance to Jesus Christ. Most of us are too afraid to do so because we're afraid what that might involve. Well, what am I going to have to do? Am I going to have to go live in a mud hut in India somewhere? You know, I don't want to do that. Let's not get carried away, okay? I'll give my life to Christ. I'll attend the church services, but let's not get carried away because, you know, I don't know what that means if I give Him 110% of my life. I can tell you what it will involve. It'll involve freedom in your life. You'll experience freedom as never before experienced because Jesus is the only one who can truly set you free. It's found in Him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul challenges the young preacher Timothy to remain faithful in a difficult ministry. He's going to tell Timothy, pledge your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what He does with your life. Watch as He sets you free from all these things of problems and solutions, you know, of the world has to offer. Just pledge your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. We'll talk about some of these things that he's supposed to run from. And follow after, that is, pledge, commit to, these things is what he's saying here. And he says, follow after. Where am I at here? I lost my place there. Let's start off with follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now notice what he says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment, that is, commandment, this commitment, this obligation, this responsibility, this pledge, okay, is what he's talking about, to keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here we find young Timothy. False preachers were all around him. Teachers surrounded him. Opposition was increasing in the ministry there. Discouragement was very real in his life as well, because the members would come in and say, oh, but you know, preacher down the street, he said such, 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 such. And then you got the guy over here at the store, he says, you know, such, 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 such. And then you're over here preaching this, and that don't make sense. It's a whole lot better if I just listen to the other guy over here. And so young Timothy was beginning to get discouraged. Paul urged Timothy to flee from false error that was being taught, to pursue righteousness and to fight the good fight of faith and remain faithful until the Lord returned. He says, this is what you need to pledge. Commit to this in your life and watch as God will set you free to do these things so you don't have to worry and fuss about and deal with all of these other things that are going on. Same challenge is before us today. If we're going to enjoy the freedom that Jesus has given us to fulfill His purpose for our lives, we must pledge our allegiance to Him. This passage teaches us three areas which every believer should renew this pledge if they've not already done so. Let's take a look. What should you pledge to the Lord? First of all, you should pledge your trust to Him. You should pledge your trust to Him. Many of us are like the guy who goes to the bank, and we trust the bank, and so we give them our money, and we tell them, but can I have a receipt? Are we really trusting that bank then? No, we want a receipt. We want proof. I want this so that I can go back to you later and say, but I did give this to you. You see that? And so we trust the bank, but we don't fully trust the bank. I can tell you this now, first and foremost, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ
for anything and everything in your life. You can trust Him, even though no one else out there that you can fully trust, but the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust Him. Pledge your trust to Him. Lord, I trust You. I pledge that I am going to trust You and Your Word from this day forward without any doubt in my life at all. 100% totally given over to Christ. Well, how can you pledge this trust to Him? Three areas we want to talk about. First of all, you can trust Him for salvation. Look what He said in verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold means realize what you have in Jesus Christ. Lay hold of that. Let it sink in. He's not telling him at this point in time to come to know Christ as Savior, but he's saying lay hold of that by which you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. This salvation, understand, Timothy was already saved, but Paul is encouraging him to fully embrace the reality of eternal life that's possessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. What it would do in your life, my life as well, if I would just fully understand that this world is not my home. This world and the government and all the political stuff that's going on and all of those things that are out there, my hope is eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. My home beyond the sky, the mansion that Jesus is building for me. And so that's what I'm to grab a hold of, lay hold of all that it means to be saved. That Jesus died for you on Calvary's cross. This is what he's saying here. When the Philippian jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation is never found in a religion. Paul didn't tell the Philippian jailer, well, come to the Baptist church because the other branch over there, they don't know what they're talking about. And so come to the Baptist church. It doesn't have anything to do with the Baptist church. It has nothing to do with, well, I've been baptized. And so as a child, I remember, and I covered it again later in life. You see, it has nothing to do with any type of good works and baptism and family heritage. Daddy was a preacher. Grandpa was a preacher. And his daddy was a deacon. It doesn't work that way. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. That's all that He has. And so you must be born again. And the only way to do that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus died at Calvary, He paid the full price for your sin. Let that sink in. Every sin that you've committed, all the ones you're still tangled up in today, and all the ones you're going to commit tomorrow, Jesus paid for every one of them because He loves you. And so Jesus paid full price for our sin. When He rose again, He proved that debt has been paid in full. That's your receipt. You can trust the Lord Jesus Christ with your soul to be saved from this world, from a devil's hell. You can trust Him with your soul's salvation. That's where it starts. Grab a hold of that. Every person who repents of sin and places trust in Christ alone receives eternal life. And so trust Him for eternal life. But you can also trust Him for service. Verse 12, He says, fight the good fight of faith. There you go. The Christian life is not a playground. It's a battlefield. That's why Paul says, you know, put on the whole armor of God. God has given us armor so that we can stand in that day when the devil comes knocking on our doors and his fiery darts come shooting at us. But how many of us really think about this spiritual armor that we're supposed to put on? How many of us put it on? Many of us go running out the door because we're late. You know, we were stayed up late on Facebook, and now the alarm's gone off and I got to run out the door, and out we go. And we don't even stop and think about putting on the spiritual armor of God. And then out we go. And so it's a battlefield. We're called to serve Christ in a world that often opposes Him and us. Yet we do not fight alone when we go. I can remember working construction, and so we had forklift, you know, and it wasn't a forklift like you see in Lowe's, you know, the little things that just go up and down. But I'm talking about one of the ones with the boom and everything that go way out and go three stories in the air, you know, so they can lift up a pallet of plywood all the way up so that we can sheet the roof in and so forth as well. And so I remember, and so we get on those things, we throw a piece of plywood on there, and we'd jump on and we'd hang on, you know, and the guy would go up and up and up and up and up and up, and there you go. And he would always say, you know, trust me. He'd always say, just trust me. You know, it's going to be okay. That thing would sway back and forth. You know, sometimes he'd get up there and he got to get you over in the corner somewhere, you know, and he'd back it up. That thing would, one time the wheel in the back went down in a hole. This tire came up off the ground and it was like, whoa, and that thing was really good. He says, just trust me. It's okay. And so if it, you could always trust him though, because he was in the driver's seat, and if it turned over, he would suffer as well. He would suffer as well. We need to trust Jesus because he's in the driver's seat. We can trust Jesus because he's in the driver's seat. He'll suffer if we suffer. You see that? And so he says, just serve me. Proverbs 3:5, trust him for service. You know, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Lord, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what you want me to do, but I'll do it. I'll get up and do it. I don't understand it. I don't know why you picked me, but I will do it. I'll go here and I'll talk to that person at the hospital. I don't know why, but I'll go. I don't understand it. I'm not trusting my ways, my thinking, but Lord, I'm going to trust you to serve. Know this, that you can trust God to lead you into ministry and service. And when you get there, God will provide everything that you need as well. Because it says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Trust Christ to lead and supply as you serve him. Take a look what we find now. You can trust him for solutions in life. Verse 11, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee means to run away from. What was Timothy to run away from? Look at verse 10. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows, it says. He says, money, you know, they were saying, oh, what we need is more money, and we need this and that. And the money's what you need, Timothy. Money's the answer to all of your problems. And he says, no, they've pierced themselves through because the love of money is the root of all evil. I've got to have more. I don't care what it takes. I will steal it. I will treat you wrong. I will do this. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. He says, stay away from those things. Earlier, he says that all these the strife and the envyings and the quarrels that were taking place was because of pride as well, he said. And so he says, stay away from those things as well. And so those what you need in life is not found by the wisdom of the world. Run away from those things and trust the Word of God to solve your issues and your problems in life. Lord, I don't know what you want me to do, but I know this, that the solutions to my life is not found in the government. It's not found in higher education. It's not found in more money. It's found in you. And I'm going to trust you. Wholeheartedly, sold out, 110%, I pledge my allegiance to you that you will save my soul, you will guide me to serve where you want me, and you have the solutions to all of my problems in life found right here. 110%, I trust you. Are we there today with that? I mean, is that the mindset that we have? You need to trust Jesus to work in your problems, to bring solutions, to bring good out of chaos as well. Because he's the one that said he's working all things together for your good. As long as we're following after him. God's people talk about standing on the rock of ages, but yet they act and live as though they were clinging to the last piece of driftwood that they can find, you know? And so it's amazing how we live that way. When he says, lay hold of that salvation that you have. Lay hold of what you have in Jesus Christ. Commit your life to him. 110% pledge your all to Him. You know, if we would trust Jesus enough to get out of our comfort zone. Is that not what Peter did when the waters were raging and the boat was about to sink and it was dark and it was night? Somebody comes along on the water and he sees that it's Jesus and he says, "Oh," says, "let me get out. If it's you, let me come to the boat. Let me come out of the boat and come to you." And he gets out and he starts walking on the water. Why? Because he sold out, pledged 100% commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And out he went, started walking on the water. Jesus can calm your fears, heal your marriage, fix your finances, but you're going to have to trust Him to do what He says. Have you pledged your trust to the Lord for salvation, service, and solutions in life? Let's move on. Why should you pledge your life to the Lord? Because you should pledge your testimony to Him. A pledge is more than something you say. It's something that we live. Look at verse 12 again. Notice he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, wherefore thou art also called." Notice it says, "And hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." I wonder, can that be said of us as well? That I'm fighting the good fight. I'm sold out 100% for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's others around me that can see that in my life. I don't have to tell them I'm a Christian. They can see it. That's what Christ is doing in my life, in this walk that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm trusting Him. I'm surrendered. I'm sold out to Him 110% in my life. He said that's what Timothy was here. He was professing a good witness before others. Timothy was publicly declared his faith to others, and now he was living in a way that honored that profession. I don't know how many have told me that they're a believer, and then, you know, it wasn't 10 minutes later, I'm wondering, something doesn't connect here. Something's not quite right here. Our testimony either points people to Christ or it turns them away. It's your choice. God wants you to point others to Christ. Well, how can you testify? How can you pledge your testimony? First of all, you can testify of His compassion. The children sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Aren't you glad I didn't sing that? But that's what the children sing that. How simplistic is that? That's easy enough that even adults could share that, could they not? I mean, the children can sing it. We could probably say it, I think, and muster up enough encouragement to do so. We would, if we're sold out, if we pledged our allegiance to Him, that I am going to share your compassion with others. I'm not going to hold it in and keep it all to myself, protect it and polish it and shine it and look at it and play with it. And I'm going to help share that with others. Who's the last person you told Jesus loves you? Think about that. We know that our greatest need is for love, and that love is met in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the picture and proof of God's love for us. Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And isn't that exactly what Jesus did? We are quick to claim how much we love Jesus, but how quick are we in telling others that Jesus loves them? We ought not be afraid to tell others that Jesus loves us, loves them as well. We won't have any fear if we pledged our life to do so, that I'm going to be a testimony. I'm going to tell others that Jesus loves them. I'm going to pledge to do that. You can also testify of His calmness. Do you remember the peace that flooded your soul when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? When you were guilt-ridden with the sin in your life and realized that you're headed to a devil's hell and there's not a thing that you can do about it, and you asked Jesus, "Will you forgive me of my sin? Will you save me from the penalty of sin? Will you give me that home in heaven? Lord, I'm calling out to You. Will You forgive me this day?" And He said, "Yes. Yes." Oh, what a peace. Flood your soul to know my sin is forgiven. The Savior dwells within me through His Holy Spirit. And now I have my eternity fixed with Him, because that's a promise, that's a pledge that He's made to me. Calmness. Paul said this, once you've given your life to Christ, Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. He said, our world is filled with fear and anxiety, confusion and uncertainty. Oh, what we need is the Prince of Peace. And do we not have that in our own soul as well? And so why aren't we sharing the peace that Jesus has to give to others? People are searching everywhere for peace, and yet they continue to come up empty. They're searching for in all the wrong places. As Christians, we possess what the world desperately needs. Let the peace you have with God flow from your lips and your life for God and for that individual. You can also testify of His cleansing as well. First, His compassion, His love. His calmness, that is His peace, but then also His cleansing, that is His forgiveness as well. Every believer has a story of God's amazing grace of forgiveness. Even after you come to know Jesus as Savior, and that saving grace, but then there's also that sustaining grace as well that we have, gives us the strength, the energy that we need day after day as well. But it's that forgiveness. The Bible says when we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Not only does He forgive, He goes on to cleanse, wash us up, make us new all over again, restores our faith with Him. And therefore, Paul told us this in Ephesians. He said this in Ephesians chapter, where are we at here? Chapter 4, verse 32. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay, Christ has forgiven me. I'm going to pledge that I am now going to be forgiving. I'm going to forgive others. Oh, but you know now you've gone too far. I can tell them that Jesus loves them. I can tell them that the peace I have is because of what Jesus has done in my life. But you want me to forgive them? That ain't happening. You don't understand what they've done to me. Jesus has promised, pledged, committed Himself to forgive us when we seek it. But how can we then not turn around and forgive others as well? Because we've been forgiven, we ought to be willing to forgive others as well. We need to pledge to do all that we can to let others know of God's love, His peace, and His forgiveness. Last point. You not only pledge your trust, your testimony, but now also your talk. Verse 20. Take a look and see what he says. Drop down there for just a little bit there. I get my pages going here. Verse 20. He says, O Timothy! Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Notice now, he says, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, he says. Make sure that your speech is morally clean. He's talking about here vain, worthless, or even profane language. He says, it ought not to be so in your life. And stay away from those who do as well. We're to be people who always speak the truth in love, not just when it's convenient or not just when we're calm, but always. Paul told Timothy to keep, that is to guard against worthless speech. Cursing, gossiping, off-color jokes, all of those things. They dishonor Christ and discourage others. And that's when, you know, the fellow said, you need some Bible soap to wash your mouth out with, and that's what's needed. But dare I say, you know, he's talking about this worthless language, you know, vain language, and stop and think about this, you know, that which is morally right. We can go and we can tell a joke, you know, that you wouldn't tell maybe in front of sailors even, you know, and so those jokes, and but yet we had the same amount of time we could have told them about Christ. Why do we do that? Why do we even, we'll talk about the weather, we'll talk about the fireworks, we'll talk about the family, we'll talk about, you know, the work, you know, the income, we'll talk about all of these things, we'll talk about anything and everything but Christ. Why is that? Which do you think matters most? Which do you think is eternal? So he says to Timothy, stay away from those things. And so I say that to say this, make sure that your speech motivates, that it's got some conviction into it. That is, when you're talking, that it's got some conviction for the cause of Christ. There was a man, a company was offering their employees, a pension plan. It required 100% participation. Sam refused. He says, it'll never pay off. And everyone tried to persuade him. It looked hopeless. And the boss finally called Sam into his office. And he said, Sam, here's the copy of the pension plan and a pen. Sign it or you're fired. Sam signed the papers and left. Later they asked him, says, how come you waited all this time? Why didn't you sign it earlier? He said, nobody ever explained it to me so clear. Is that not our task at hand? To explain the gospel message in such a clear way that others are convicted. Now, it's not just because we have learned a certain method or to explain things, but to be used of God to share the gospel message so that others can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us could actually do that? We could actually take the Bible and lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, well, you know, I've meant to. Then today's a great day to make the pledge. God, I pledge, I'm 100%, I want to do this. I don't want my speech to be talked about, you know, with just plain old eternal or rather earthly-minded topics and so forth. I want to be involved in eternal things, eternal conversations. And so, Lord, help me, Lord, to do this. Your speech should be seasoned with salt to make others thirsty for righteousness. Paul says we're to set aside a vain, empty-sounding, fruitless discussion. We need to talk about the peace that passes all understanding. We need to talk about the power of God that enables us to live each and every day. We need to talk about the place that God has prepared for us in eternity. Those are things that we need to pledge. God, I'm sold out 110%. I will, from this day forward, I will talk about eternal things by which you have in store for me and for those as well. Let's pledge our talk to Him so that others will be motivated to give their heart and life to Christ. And then finally, make sure your speech magnifies Christ. Make sure your speech magnifies Christ. Above all else, our words should exalt the one who has given us eternal life. Speak well of Him. Respect His holy name. Huh? Paul said, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We don't have a problem speaking about our football games, our grandkids, our hobbies, and on and on. We can speak loud, we can cheer, we can, you know, hoorah about those things. What we talk about, we value the most. Whoa, what now? What are you thinking? What is it that you talk about the most? Because that's what you value. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in here will come out. Is it Jesus that's coming out? If not, then you need to pledge your allegiance to Him today. Lord, it's you. You are the one that's going to take first and foremost place in my life. If Jesus Christ truly holds first place in our hearts, then He should be the object of our conversation. He should be the one that we esteem highly above everyone else and His name. What do your words reveal about your heart? We need Christians who will pledge their entire lives to Jesus Christ. The day of casual Christianity is over. It is over. If we're going to do anything for Jesus Christ, we can't afford to just drift along day after day. Wait for the 4th of July and for the fireworks to go off, and when they fizzle out, you know, then we go back to our old ways, you know. The Christians are a lot like that, you know. We hear a good message and the fireworks are going off and we think, yes, that's what I need to do. And oh, wouldn't that be great? And you say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pledge my life anew to Jesus Christ. And so, yes, I know I'm saved, but I've not been acting like it and I've been living like it and I've not been doing these things here. And so I want to magnify Jesus Christ. I'm going to pledge my allegiance to Him. And so this day you'll come and you'll pray and then out the door you go. Don't let it be like the fireworks that are now fizzled out and gone, swept up and thrown in the trash, but let it burn bright in your life. I read this and I'll close. Found this
Several years ago, actually, a preacher told me, he says, if you find good illustrations, pack them up, store them away somewhere, try to label them best you can, but don't throw anything away that you might be able to use. You'll always thumb through and try to find it.
There was a young African martyr that had written an article that all of God's people, I think, should adopt, and I think it speaks well to this about a pledge of allegiance to the Lord. He said this, he said, I am part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past has been redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, worldly talking and cheap giving and dwarfed goals. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, and my companions are few. My guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up for the cause of Christ. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till everyone knows, work till He stops me, and when He comes for His own, He'll have no trouble recognizing me because my banner will have been made clear. He's pledged his allegiance to Jesus Christ. Of all the commitments made to you, there are none greater than the ones that God has given to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we've been promised salvation, His Spirit, His strength, His supply. Because Jesus has made these commitments to us, should we not also commit our lives to Him? Stand with me. Are we ready for a hymn of invitation? If God has challenged your heart this morning, no longer am I going to live for myself. I'm going to pledge my allegiance to Him. From this day forward, He can have all of me that there is. I want to be sold out for Him. Lord, help me. Help me this day because I'm going to pledge my allegiance to You. And all that was spoken today, I want that to be real in my life. Lord, I need You to seal it. I'll make the promise. You seal it. Help me to bring it to pass. Come and pray. You can pray right where you are. There's something about coming to the altar and just showing God that You mean business. Father, we thank You for this message today. We thank You for all that You mean to us and all that You have pledged to us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Lord, may not a one of us walk out of here without knowing Jesus Christ as Savior, asking Him to forgive us of our sin and to be our Savior. Help us, Lord, not to walk out of here without pledging our lives anew unto Him. Days ahead are getting short. Jesus is soon to return. We need to be about Your business, magnifying and exalting the name of Jesus. Souls are depending upon us sharing the gospel message for them to hear before it's eternally too late. Guide and direct this invitation. We give it over to You and ask that You would work in our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What song we